Hello, and welcome to A Year on the Farm. I am your host, Kimberly Allen. Join me as I share my small farm journey on Vancouver Island and connect with other female farmers about how to grow beautiful food, manage a farm, and feed our communities. Welcome to A Year on the Farm. I am your host, Kimberly Allen. I come to you today from the unceded traditional territory of the Comox First Nation. Today's episode is all about emotional resiliency and how to cultivate joy on the farm. How we farm is about a lot more than how we farm. And what I mean by that is our approach, attitude, and feelings about farming are just as important to this work as the actual how-to of soil, seed, animals, and product. But it can be easy to get lost in the work and the overwhelm of just how much work needs to be done. Farmer burnout isn't new, but I do have a feeling that what we are seeing is a new level of strain for those in agriculture. And I'm not the only person talking about this. Mental health in agriculture is slowly coming to the forefront of conversations in agriculture, and women are driving this. My friend Caitlin at the Rural Woman podcast has several interviews with female farmers that address this. And even in my community, we have been trying to share resources and information for local farmers. I come to this conversation as someone who has experienced burnout, anxiety in farming, and navigating through yet another year where farmers are facing so much hardship. I am by no means an expert, but I do want to share with you my experience with burnout, what I have learned from my years in human resources and management, as well as some strategies I have worked on and continue to work on as my profession and life become more challenging, more demanding, and all while I am aging. I have experienced burnout from time to time in different professions, and it seems that everywhere I worked, there was an acceptable level of burnout, as if it was just part of the job, and one's ability to get through it, which was mostly alone, was a badge of honor. In almost every workplace I have been in, there was little to nothing done to prevent burnout and address mental health in the workplace. And as a woman, I also experienced the expectation of having to hustle and push through no matter the risk to my health. I think a lot of us can relate to this, from highly toxic workplaces to others where there was simply a lack of awareness. I have seen what burnout can do to people and the cost to their health and lives. A huge reason why I became an entrepreneur was to create a different workplace, and I imagine that a lot of listeners feel the same. We change our job, start a company, or make internal change because we are seeing this type of culture robbing people of a great work experience and impacting their lives. The challenge with addressing burnout with farmers is that there are so many different types of farming with very different environments. While this podcast is focused on small-scale farming, and so that's what I'm going to focus on here. But the other challenge with looking deeper at farmer burnout is that it is one of those professions that I feel is often misunderstood. I'm not sure that most farmers market shoppers and small farm customers realize that most people who have a small farm need to have a job off the farm in order to keep their farm. Unless one is born into a multi-generational farm, chances are a small-scale farmer maintains an off-farm job or leases their land, or even both. While some would then classify these farmers as hobby farmers, they are not. A hobby farm would be a farm that one doesn't depend on for income. It's a hobby, it's for fun, it's a lifestyle. But farmers, whether they maintain an off-farm job or not, depend on their farm income to live. In addition to the financial strain, there is a misconception out there that somehow there are all these financial and tax benefits to farming. No. In fact, farms are facing ever-increasing insurance costs and multiple other increasing costs. While some farms may experience a small tax break on property tax, those are also farms that pay for their own septic, water, and garbage services. A trip to the dump just got really expensive. So on top of that, Farms are also where our food comes from. Given the massive tax breaks for so many industries that harm our environment and health, I believe farmland needs to be better protected and for there to be much better incentives and tax breaks for farmers. Without farms, we have no food. I read recently about the decline of farmland in BC, and with that, the rising average age of farmers. Multi-generational farms are less and less common, and new folks who want to get into farming are facing the burden of not being able to afford land and having to lease land. Now, if you get a good lease agreement and you are happy with a temporary situation, leasing can be a great option. Many of the farmers I am interviewing this year are leasing land and certainly make the most of it. But what does it say for the future of farming and food if we have less farms and less farmers? I have really noticed that a big part of farmer burnout recently has been what is coined as eco-anxiety. Small-scale farmers tend to be really concerned about the state of our climate, and we are striving to do our part to slow down the climate crisis. Anybody can feel eco-anxiety, but I think many farmers take it on in a much bigger way. We feel a huge sense of responsibility to produce food, but also the stress of not knowing how the season will go based on the climate crisis is now a real part of farming. While weather has always been a factor in farming, now we are dealing with never-seen-before climate change from month to month. Farmers plan ahead. Having a 14-day forecast doesn't help us mitigate loss and damage. We plan 6 or more months ahead. In 2021, I naively thought that navigating COVID and the health protocols for our farm store and deliveries would be our biggest challenge. Then we had a heat dome. We were unprepared, we lost crops, we lost money. And we had to pivot and adjust very quickly to try to make the most of the rest of the season. The burden of not knowing what to expect and how best to handle it is a real concern and one that weighs heavily on farmers. Farmers have all these factors that can lead to burnout, but I think the biggest difference between farmer burnout and burnout in other industries is that as small-scale farmers, we don't ever leave our jobs. We live at our jobs, and the work is never-ending. And some of that I love. We choose to live a rural life because there are so many advantages. We benefit from most of our food being homegrown, and there are a million positives about farm life. But as someone who has commuted to an office, I can tell you there is a big difference because at the farm, I don't get to leave work behind me at 5 o'clock. I don't get to punch out and go home to a refuge and relax. We don't raise animals for food, but those who do know full well that farming is 24/7. Even with our goats and greenhouse and field, that keeps us busy and we can rarely take a break. Farming families are also starting to look different. I have interviewed many people who are farming as a couple with no kids or farming solo, or their kids are not involved in the farm. It used to be that farm families would be large and everyone in the family helped on the farm. That is becoming less and less common. And so the workload changes and the off-farm commitments change too. The strategies that one would apply to regular work life, whether you work from home or at a location other than your home, are different than strategies for farm life. I remember when I first heard the term work-life balance, and all of a sudden it was something that I was expected to encourage and promote in the workplace. I remember at the time feeling like it just didn't sit right with me. In my experience, burnout isn't just a physical experience. It was an emotional and intellectual exhaustion as well as physical. It was when too much was being taken from me and I didn't have enough time to recover daily to maintain that output. As a recovering type A perfectionist, I was a perfect candidate for burnout. And I think often people like me are prime candidates for it because we also don't want to speak up or say anything. And we end up taking on too much and we don't ask for help. The notion of work-life balance is really a myth, and I think it's extremely problematic, especially in farm life. The idea that work and life, as in personal life, should strike a balance is categorically wrong. Our personal lives, as in our health, relationships, goals, personal interests, families, and communities, should always take priority. But farm life blends work and life, and so even more, there isn't any way to balance it. It is all one. It is one life. I think people with non-farm jobs could learn something from farmers, because while we live at our jobs and pretty much live and breathe farming, we also often approach life with that unified philosophy. We blend it all together. When it works well, we are thriving, and so is our farm and family life. But when burnout sets in, it can take a huge toll on us because we can't take a break from our job or take time off or easily find another job. We have to farm, day in and day out. The seasons keep on changing, and we need to keep going. As a family with off-farm work, homeschooling children, community commitments, and multiple farm revenue streams, we have had our moments when it is thriving and when we feel the burnout creeping in. I have worked on several strategies that help me manage my time so that I can also effectively parent and work. The best place to start is to choose priorities. I do this yearly in terms of our business, so I know where we are putting our time and money into. And those priorities might change, or you might be really dialed into your focus for work and it's very clear. This past year, we added many aspects to our business, so it took some time to figure out how to put all the working parts together. I look at personal and family priorities seasonally, and these are often the priorities that can change on a dime. A sudden illness or injury changes everything for the family for a time. A new activity or change to school schedules. But for the most part, we plan this seasonally and go with the flow of school terms and plan from there. I also committed to community volunteer work this year, and I sit on two boards to give back to my community. After setting priorities, I look at what is not a priority, and this is an important list. This is where you can set boundaries in terms of what and whom will not primarily consume your time. There will be seasons in our life when we have competing priorities. That's normal and natural, and I think being really clear on our priorities makes it possible for us to quickly adapt when there is a situation that calls for it. These moments are often temporary, and I think even putting a temporary plan in place can help alleviate the feeling of frustration that our time is being consumed with a different focus. When I look at my work and life schedule, I don't manage with time. I manage with energy. I manage my weekly energy based on when I know I will have high energy and low energy. Natural to being a woman, our energy fluctuates throughout the month. And so I have spent some time knowing when I will be able to work with lots of energy and when I need to slow down. I manage our work schedule and life around this. Of course, there are some fixed tasks in our schedule, so I work those in the best possible time of day for me, and I plan ahead. An example of how I plan ahead is that I make our weekly menu, and I build into that some food prep and meal prep. I stash meals in the freezer weekly so that when I have a low energy week, we have healthy food ready to go. I also taught my daughters to cook and bake, which has honestly been such a joy to watch them love preparing food, but it is also such a nice way for them to contribute to the family. My other strategy as a mom is we don't use the word chore. We never have. We have a weekly calendar and everyone has family tasks on the calendar. From making dinner to doing laundry to cleaning and helping on the farm. My children are super capable when it comes to life skills, and making this a non-stress aspect of family life was super important to me. We just all do our part. I had to let go of things being done exactly as I do them, and I recommend that to any recovering type A perfectionist. I plan our farm work seasonally, then monthly, then weekly. We review it weekly to adjust to what needs our attention or is a pressing issue or can be put off to another time. There are tasks that obviously need to be done daily and we have a routine for that. And then we move the other tasks around to who is doing them and when. There is a constant flow, and while yes, some things get delayed and I am sometimes disappointed, we do get the work done. One of my strategies for managing my energy is also acknowledging that I enjoy alone time and I don't want to be in social situations frequently. My volunteer work has been on Zoom, and while that will start to shift, it has made it possible for me to contribute without the time and energy required to travel. When it comes to preventing burnout, I have found that honoring my energy is probably the best thing I could do. It shifts the focus of how I use my time and how I think of my work. Rural life is simply different, and I think a lot of people who choose rural life are choosing it for the space and solitude that we can have living on a farm. I find that a lot of typical mental health advice doesn't always translate well to rural life. Many rural people are introverts rather than extroverts, and I'm a little of both. Doing something social for me isn't necessarily beneficial to my mental health. I would be much more inclined to want more time to myself. Seeing friends or going to town isn't what makes me feel better. I connect with my friends online and on the phone, and we don't always have to see each other for me to feel that boost. I crave adventure and would rather go somewhere new or experience something adventurous rather than be somewhere urban. Also, I think because I grew up in a big city and lived in big cities most of my life, if I want an urban experience, then I want to be in a big city. We don't live in a big city. And when it comes to building community and connection, I belong to two online groups that I find a lot of great connection. And to be honest, because they are focused on what I love to do, those online group connections really fill me up. And I can say that I would love to see any of these women in real life if I had the chance. But also, connecting with women in other places feeds my adventurous side. I love learning about where they live and farm. It feels really good to make those connections. The common advice from mental health experts to exercise can certainly be good. And when I would add that farming folk have really physical jobs, so traditional exercise isn't necessarily what would be needed. I think that something mindful, such as solo yoga, meditation, or a walk in nature, can have a huge benefit to boosting mental health. And finally, reaching out for help. This may look different to rural folk. Thankfully, we have many online health resources and apps. I have had doctor's appointments online and over the phone. There are specific tools and apps for mental health too. I think that these resources are more likely to be effective because it doesn't require us to leave the farm. And if someone is struggling with anxiety, especially, leaving the farm may be challenging. At-home resources are a great option for rural life for so many reasons. Childcare, animals, distance, and even just the ability to get an appointment may be challenges to accessing mental health care in town. My primary strategy for preventing burnout this year is to focus on cultivating joy. This time of my life, as my children become teenagers and my work is changing, I am valuing the ability to be more reflective, more patient with myself and others, and more adventurous. When I reflect back on some goals I've had for myself, having a joy-filled home was a top goal. I think that in many ways we have created it, and now I feel like I just need to notice it more. To me, joy isn't so much a feeling as an experience. And as we cultivate more joy in our lives, we realize we are happier. And happiness isn't a static state. We can be happy through difficult times. We can be unhappy with some parts of our lives while also being happy with others. I think the whole goal of being happy is a little bit misguided and too simplified for me. I know that when I experience moments of joy, I am generally healthier, more focused and rewarded with my work, and a better parent and person all round. And so that is how I'm working to prevent burnout this season. I want to cultivate joy on the farm. This can be as simple as noticing something that makes you feel lighter or calmer. It could be a moment of adventure or spontaneity. It could be a moment of connection with your child or an animal. All things we experience in life, the noticing takes time. It's pausing and acknowledging it, and that's where we embed that joy in our hearts and minds. We timestamp that moment and store it for later. And it's not so much so that we can look back on it, but the very act of doing so can soothe our soul. While there are many strategies to avoiding burnout and preserving our mental health, I've come to realize that simple is best. We don't need to complicate this, and if you are starting to feel in over your head, then please do reach out for expert help. I have in the past, and it is because of the guidance of counselors and therapists that I'm able to avoid that slippery slope now. But I don't want to just survive this season. I want to thrive, and I believe that cultivating joy on the farm will be how I can do it. I would love for you to join me on my mission to cultivate joy on the farm and build emotional resiliency. Head on over to A Year on the Farm on Instagram and follow along. I will be sharing more in the weeks to come, including a special announcement. Once again, thank you, friends, for listening. I am grateful for your support. The best way you can show your love of this podcast is to give a positive rating and review on Apple Podcasts. Positive ratings and reviews help folks find this podcast, and we want to reach more people. It only takes a few seconds, and it is truly appreciated. I will be sharing your reviews in future episodes. So that's all for now. And remember, beautiful food is in your future. Thank you for listening to A Year on the Farm today. Don't forget, new episodes arrive every Tuesday anywhere that you listen to podcasts. You can also connect with our community on Instagram at A Year on the Farm and visit our website at gatherfarmandkitchen.com to learn more about our farm and to sign up for our email newsletter. Please remember, beautiful food is in your future.